at 7 o'clock. Welcome to City of Shreveport City Council meeting. It's Monday, July 26th at 7 p.m. We have call to order roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Jennings, Alderman McCowan.
Here.
Alderman Snell.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Here.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Moving on to 2.0, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one indivisible.
Moving on to 3.0, special presentation.
We can't hear you down here.
Is there a microphone?
No.
Yeah, you can't hear anything. 4.0, council reports and requests. 4.1, Mayor Sanford. 4.1.1, items of community interest. I do not have any at this time, so we're going to move on to 5.0, public hearing and public comment. 5.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on the agenda. Mr. Stahl, would you like to read the public comment F in our city policy?
Yes, no person who addresses council shall make any belligerent, personal, impertinent, redundant, slanderous, loud, threatening, abusive, or disparaging remarks, statement, or commentary towards the council, staff, or other individuals in a manner which disrupts, disturbs, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the council meeting. Nor shall any person engage in any other disorderly conduct which so disrupts, disturbs, or impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting. Council shall be held to the same standards. Nothing in this section shall prohibit or discourage orderly criticism of any city decision or policy within the limits of these rules. Any violation of this rule shall be grounds for terminating the citizen's comment period. Continued inappropriate behavior or comments after having been directed to discontinue shall be grounds for removal from the meeting.
We're going to start with public comments on this end. I'll start over here.
Okay. My name is Durack.
Yeah, come here.
My name is Deborah Ashton, 610 Medellin. And I'm wondering about our heavy trash, not so much heavy trash, but our trees, our limbs, our brush, everything that people are moving back into our community to try to save our little town. But I'm wondering, what does the town do for us? You know, our taxes are as high as they can be, but yet we're struggling to put our little 7-8 streets of town together. But the big question is, what are we doing as a team to work with us? I was just going to bring that to the floor for now.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else on this thing? David, you hear me?
My name is David Gerani. I live at 3316 Miramar. I'm here to discuss agenda item 7.2. As concerns agenda item 7.2, I'm going to ask council and those who are sponsoring it exactly two questions, really. One is why. I want to know, and I want an answer at the end when you were talking about the agenda item as to why it is important for us to have weapons in this chamber. Why it's prudent during a heated time in our community. There's a lot of division, derision. I would say hatred. I would say a lot of reasons that maybe why would be a good question. Question number two is going to be a financial one. how is putting weapons in this chamber financially feasible? For one, I know that it's going to take changes to the ordinances, it's going to take signage, it's going to take legal. I'll put this in a microcosm as to why I bring this up financially. I will have been before this very council now three times to address the issue of drainage ditches, specifically in the 3300 block of Miramar. I would submit that this ordinance will cost the city, which is the citizens, the same amount of money that it would cost the city to dig the ditches in the 3300 block of Miramar. This is my 13th request for this to be done in 7.5 years since Hurricane Ike destroyed those ditches by virtue of putting the riprap from the other side of the street in those ditches. A city manager has offered to allow me at my own cost to do so. Now, I find that insulting, not the city manager offering to not fine me for digging those ditches, but I find it insulting that the city is taking up an ordinance that's going to cost the citizens money when I can, after 13 times and 7.5 years, get a ditch dug in front of my house. My house is susceptible to flooding, and I cannot see how an ordinance promoting guns in this council chambers is more important than digging a ditch that is going to protect my property and two adjacent properties on either side of me, north and south, on the 3300 block of Miramar. I have a neighbor, Chuck Haste. He's standing in the back. He's been wondering about when in the last two or three decades he could get his ditches done. I mean, we're talking simple math here, folks. It's going to cost signage. There's legal that's going to have to be done. This is the wrong time. I'm a gun proponent. I'm a Second Amendment person. I think that council at this point should shove this agenda back indefinitely until, first of all, we have some adults show up in the room and discussions on public media, next door, you name it. I don't see adults standing up in the room. I see a lot of nonsense going on. The woman before me. What are we doing for the community? We've got ditches that are full of grass. I mow my own damn ditch because I know council in the city is not going to do it. That's ridiculous. I checked Kima, Baytown, LaPorte, Deer Park, Pasadena, and I believe Houston are all the surrounding communities that do not allow concealed carry in their chambers today. I don't know about Houston, but I do know about Kima, Baytown, LaPorte, Deer Park, and Pasadena. Might take a page out of their playbook. I'm a constituent of four of you. I voted for four of you. One of you I didn't know, so I didn't get the opportunity to. But I am a constituent of yours, and I guarantee you I will vote differently if you vote for this. I think this is an abusive, unnecessary, costly, and I think it's dangerous. You can cite statistics on concealed carry, but right now it is not in this building. You bring weapons in this building, it will necessarily increase the risk to those who are here. I find it abusive. I think it is literally I'll just leave it at that. I really respectfully ask you to not pass this agenda item. Thank you.
Bob Bunker, 222 Seagrove. I won't say it over and over and over again, but I'm a 55-year-old resident of Short Acres. Why? It's easy. It's my right. It's my right. I'm not saying I'll bring one in here, but it's my right to if I choose to. I've been background checked. No criminal record, no criminal history, and I have a right as a citizen of the United States of America and Texas to bring a gun in here should I choose. And that's it.
Sherry Glover, 809 South Country Club Drive. I would express the same sentiment as Mr. Bunker. I have a Second Amendment right to carry a weapon if I choose to do so. I'm not saying I would, not saying I wouldn't. I do have a concealed permit. I'm an attorney and a judge. I know what it takes to carry a concealed weapon. I've passed that background check, and it is my right to do so should I desire to do so. I don't see any expense in passing it. The expense is if you don't pass it. If you don't allow weapons in here, that's when the expense comes in to post the signs and things of that nature. So I would say pass it.
Good evening. My name's James King. I live at 809 South Country Club Drive. For a lot of you guys here, I come from a long line of military personnel. All of us that are former law enforcement or military, one of the things that we've all take a pride in is our right to bear arms. I'm a concealed carry holder. I don't see how it would harm anyone from being armed in here, any of you. If someone comes in here to do harm, that sign on the door is not going to stop them. There's no amount of signs that are going to stop them. To date, history documents that quite well. I believe you should pass this. And,
we're going to do the back row and the front row on this side at the same time as we move it front. Okay, you can come.
Jordan Gamble Bay, 616 Baywood. I wasn't going to talk tonight, but decided to because it rained. And because it rained, the weeds grew another foot. The 600 block of Baywood is about yay tall in some of the ditches that harbors rats, coons, snakes that we have to deal with. We have a boom mower, but what good is it doing if it's not being used? Since we're in such great financial shape, as we have been told, why don't we just hire somebody, contract it out, to do the mowing? In good shape. We have so many issues in this town, and yet we have sunk so low. I never would have expected our community to be like this. It wasn't like this when Wayne was alderman or mayor, and many of y'all don't know him. But he dedicated 11 years of his life to this city, and he died in office. He would take a chemo treatment one day and go to city council that night. That's how dedicated he was. And he would be flabbergasted at how low we have sunk, that we spew such hate and evil sayings. I'm for the Second Amendment, but I am not for packing a gun into this crowded room. There's too many dangers from that, especially in the atmosphere that we have right now. I think we need to concentrate less on social media, next door, whatever, and even the BBS on the website of the city, because that's gotten to where it's ridiculous sometimes. Let's get our community back. Let's heal. Let's quit hating each other. Thank you.
Is there anybody else on this side? No. This side?
Yeah. John Kuhn, 525 Baywood. A couple different things. I'm only a 7.2 alone. I never did carry mine in here, but until 5 weeks ago, it wasn't a problem. 5 weeks ago, it became a problem. 7.6, heavy trash. I would love to have heavy trash back. I mean, the vacant house across the street from us had a dumpster for almost 2 years. We used it a lot. I'm sure they appreciated it. We got rid of our heavy trash. 7.7. I've been paying for it for over a year and hadn't got anything for my money. I'm not real sure I could be behind raising my rates, but I could get behind having trash picked up again. I think it would make a lot of people in this town happy. Thank you.
Anyone else want to say?
I'm Neil Moyer, 1118 North Country Club Drive. There are several agenda items I'd like to quickly address. On 7.2, I'll briefly state my position as before. I'd like to be afforded the same protections as zoo animals are under state law, and also the court that normally takes place in this same room. On item 7.3, the audit committee, I think you should defer action on that until we really have some consensus on who should be serving on the audit committee and why. Just picking people out of thin air, similarly picking council members. I think there should be, if you want, a bit of competition for those positions. People express their interest in it and demonstrate to the rest of us that they have our best interests at heart. Moving right along to item 7.4. Unfortunately, this seems to have become a necessary measure. And it's now on the regular agenda. And like I said, it's unfortunate this needs to proceed ahead, but I believe that it should proceed ahead so that we don't incur more issues and problems and costs, particularly legal costs. Moving right along to items 7.5 and 7.6, which are really together. From what I can read, from what I've been able to see, the heavy pickup part still relies upon citizens to bring their heavy stuff to a roll-off bin over here at City Hall or wherever it ultimately resides. I'm not sure that's really the best idea, since many of us who live on the west side have more landscaping and tree debris, and we'd have to load it up on a trailer, bring it over, unload the trailer into the roll-off bin. To be perfectly honest, I get by quite well right now by doing the same thing, going over to the port, where they will unload my trailer for me, and at no charge. So I'm not sure that that's really much of a benefit, and really it's going to be a bit of a problem for many people. Moving on to, so that takes care of those two items, and I really think you should put that, the whole proposal and all the elements out there, so it's very clear what, specifically itemized, what we're buying, what circumstances we get them, and how to proceed ahead. Finally, on the ordinance, 7.5, which is a attempt to bring back the reduction in utility fees. Quite frankly, our utility fees are not paying for our utilities. We've had to draw down on general reserves in order to pay for the piping repairs. We have no way of predicting when and if those things are going to occur again, what the costs are going to be. They've certainly been quite considerable, as we've found out in the last year or so. I have apprehensions about the line that goes under Highway 146 because of its length and the fact that that's where it all goes. And I use the word it advisedly. If that line goes, it's not going to be easily repaired. In fact, I'm not even sure what the remedy would be if that line were to, if you will, go under. But it will be very costly. And as we found out, even from relatively minor repairs, costly, we haven't provided a funding mechanism for that, both short-term to provide replenishment of the reserves and long-term to provide an adequate utility reserve fund for that. And until we have a budget that clearly delineates what the city's costs are going to be, I don't have any recommendation at this time whether that those costs should be paid by fees or through the property tax. So I do have one statement on the property tax. People who we've already shifted the property tax once with the exemption. There are people who own properties here for which the city provides no service. They're their properties. And quite frankly, one needs to give some consideration to their situation as to what cost burdens are appropriate to levy upon those property owners within the city. That's it. Thanks.
Was somebody back there next?
They're funneling out of this room, too. I don't know how you want to control that.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Oh, I'll be very quick. Donna Woodward, 607 Meadowlawn. I see a lot of people here, a lot of concerns in the community. I see a lot of muted voices. They don't know what to say or what to ask. But they want to learn and they want leadership. And I think that's the biggest thing, is to get information out, accurate information, without degrading anybody for ignorance, for lack of action, or for action. This community is concerned. Thank you.
Chief Harrison, is there any more?
That's it.
Okay.
My name is Mike Wheeler. I live at 315 Shore Acres Boulevard. Just briefly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on 7.2. The only thing I have to say about that is were I to be carrying a concealed weapon, none of you in here would know it. So it's really a moot point. Moving on to sub-point 5, I haven't seen any justification, number-wise or anything else, to roll back the water rates. It was well established in the last council that the utility fund could not support itself at the current water rates. As far as the 7.6, you know, I don't really care who it is that picks up our trash as long as they do it in a reliable manner. But I happen to agree with Mr. King that we miss our heavy trash pickup. But I'm not willing to be held for ransom to have heavy trash pickup. And it looks like the fees that this company is proposing to us is outrageous. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? We're going to move on to 6.0 administrative report. Mr. Schwab.
Good evening. We've not seen a lot of additional progress other than some temporary road patching on the sewer failure that we had on Shore Acres Boulevard in Westview. Of course, as I reported at the last council meeting 2 weeks ago, they completed all of the sewer line work. So with the new line,
Dave, could you speak just a little louder?
Is in place and functioning. We still have not had the cured in place piping put in place on the West Country Club portion of the project. As I have reported previously, there'll be no underground work, no digging. It'll all be done through access through manholes, and that's a scheduling function of our contractor, and I expect that to get scheduled here shortly and move forward. So we're completely operational with our sewer lines. We've only had one progress payment made on West Country Club. It has not been invoiced for any of the work that was done on Shore Acres Boulevard or Westview, and that's all I got.
Did you 6.2,
6.3? Yep. 6.2, the monthly financial report. The council has the financial report in your packet. You have the year-to-date accounting. I would draw your attention to our current checking account balances. Our general fund checking account has a balance at the end of June of $358,368.12. Our utility fund has a balance of $49,047.48, and we are holding $58,620.21 of service deposits for our utility customers. We still have $22,735.76 in our Texas Community Development Block Grant Fund. We are still awaiting final paperwork, but I believe that money will come back to us and will be able to be transferred to the general fund when they close that out on the federal side. Our tax pool, which is our investment pool, at the end of June had a balance of $685,398.64. We still have our four certificates of deposit that have gone untouched for more than a decade. They have a maturity value of $255,852. And our year-to-date tax collection for current taxes and equipment is $873,595. Our general fund sales tax revenue for last month was $5,654.48. And an additional $1,413.62 in the road maintenance sales tax. And that's the financial report.
6.3 report on the questions. I'm sorry, are there any questions?
Yes. Mr. Stahl, tell us about this monthly report. I know that Alderman Hoskins has questioned you and has said there's been some discrepancies, and when I asked you about this last year, the very same questions actually, you told me it was, you know, this should be used as a guide, not an audited report. There's accruals, reversals, split transactions, there's things yet to be done.
That's
so
correct.
Can you explain?
Sure. This is just a bellwether indicator of where those funds are at in movements. It is not reconciled numbers to the end of the month. It is what has been posted to our QuickBooks, both revenues and debits, which some run ahead and some run behind. Also, we have revenue streams that we receive from other entities and agencies that are applied to a particular month, but not until those monies are received. And so there's a lag there on some of those revenues. And so this is really just a guide to give you an indication. If we need to know how much specifically is in a line item to make a major purchase, for example, then we can do some work to bring that to a current number. That's
why the final report at the end of the year may be different than one of these monthly reports.
Well, the final report, if you compare it to the audit, is apples and oranges, because we consider, for example, a utility. Payments for water and sewer, we count part of the revenue on the water, the late fees. The auditors don't consider that a water revenue. They don't count that as a revenue stream because there's no control of whether there will or will not be a late fee. So they group that with another revenue, like water taps. And so the bottom line all comes out to the same number. But they recategorize it, and it's a little difficult sometimes to make the audit report match up to what we have in a line item budget, because they don't use our line items the same way.
Now, you mentioned earlier about the sewer repairs.
Yes.
And because we're not on an accrual system there, and you mentioned that we hadn't been invoiced, it doesn't show up on this report.
That is correct.
Yeah. And so we have $425,000, $30,000 sitting out there that we know we have to pay.
That's correct.
Yeah, so if we look at this report and we say, oh, well, we're doing well in water and sewer, that might not be so accurate.
That's correct. And you can make a good point in that this monthly report is more like a cash basis. And when that invoice comes in and we pay it, it will be paid in the month in which it was, that debt was established. So it may be not just last month, it may be month before last. And so you'll see an adjustment. If we were to have this is a year-to-date number, but if we were to do it monthly, you would see some monthly numbers change significantly a month or two afterwards because of that kind of correction. Likewise, if we have a rebate or a refund on a purchase, you'll see that applied back to that line item long after, but it will be applied back to the date in which that actually occurred.
Thank you.
Is there any more questions?
I have kind of didn't quite get the opportunity to ask the question earlier. Kind of goes back to 6-1, but since we're talking about finances and it takes a while for things to show up, did we ever get the number and how much money was overbid for the West Country Club repair that was going to be applied to the Schrader's Boulevard repair? Did we ever get a hard number on that?
Well, overbid is probably a bad way to describe
okay,
that.
Okay, well, you know what I mean.
We had a contract estimate based on unit pricing. There were portions of that that they did not do, which they will not bill us for, so that's money we saved. There were other portions that they did that weren't in their original estimate. For example, they did more pipe bursting than we had originally thought, and the pipe bursting is more expensive than the cured-in-place pipe. All in all, it looks like we'll come in under budget from what we budgeted based on the estimate, and then we added a contingency. But before we get to the contingency, it looks like we'll be about $35,000 under budget. But we have not got the final billing on that. We did get a progress payment on that. Until it's closed out, I can't tell you what the exact number is. And, you know, the good news is it's all unit-based pricing, so we only pay for what they actually do. And the same is true of the other projects. And so we appropriated funds to do the Shore Acres and Westview as if we were not getting any money saved out of the West Country Club. And we know for a fact, we just don't know what that number is going to be.
Okay. Thank you.
I just have one question, and that is, you know, you did explain previously why the audit numbers are going to be different based on accrual. And I recall at one point I asked about the budget report, whether it was cash or accrual. And you told me accrual back then, but I guess it's cash now.
Well, it is accrual, but until it's applied, it doesn't...
That's called cash.
Well, okay.
Right? So in February of 2015, you reported our water revenues to be $103,000. How in March did the numbers drop to $91,000 in those reports?
I got a good memory, but I can't pull that one out of the air for you.
Okay, well, I can provide you the reports at some other, at another time. But all right, thank you. No more questions.
Okay, so we're going to move on to 6.3. Report on the new 20-mile-per-hour speed limit zone. Mr. Chief Harrison.
Thank you. The council had asked to see how the enforcement was going. And as expected, we've made several contacts. In fact, we've made 11 contacts. It doesn't sound like a lot, but out of those 11 contacts, 4 actual citations were written and 12 warnings. To go along with that, there was other citations that were issued that it may have initiated from a traffic stop for speed, but it may have been an expired MVR or no insurance, no driver's license, those things. And there was a stop sign citation. We normally don't issue warnings for stop signs or red lights. It's too dangerous of a situation. So there was a stop sign that was, when the officer was working radar, he actually saw a stop sign violation at Shore Acres Boulevard in Westview. So that's kind of where we're at. All the signs are up now. I drove around today and looked. So we'll continue to run radar on those roads along with Shore Acres Boulevard. I did not include Shore Acres Boulevard on this. This was just 20 miles an hour, but we've been on Shore Acres Boulevard a lot in the last month or so after receiving complaints from citizens about speeding on that road.
I have a question, Chief.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't want to put you on the spot here, but I just kind of wanted to make the public aware too. TxDOT, they apparently erroneously put 45-mile-an-hour speed limit signs on Broadway southbound from the Schrader city limits. There's 2 of them. And I actually spoke with Mike Iowa, who I called Mike, and I said, "Hi, Mike, it's Nancy Schnell, Schrader. Guess what? I'm not calling to gripe about the wall." And he was so happy to hear me say that. But and then I spoke with Sylvester Onwath, and somebody misread their instructions is what he told me. When they changed Wharton Weems from 55 to 45, somebody just took a right turn and made everything 45. So they're supposed to be getting that rectified. So it is 40. It just says 45. But if you could follow up with, you've got a whole lot more clout than I do. Because that's very dangerous. That's not a good intersection to increase the speed limit on.
Got it.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any more questions?
Yes. Chief, what's your overall assessment of the success so far? I mean, typically on an average, we don't have this many people, but half the people here are complaining about the 20 miles an hour Miramar. We haven't had that in a while.
No, and you know, it's kind of tough for me to answer the question, because when you put a police car out there, everybody slows down, obviously, and I've thought of different ways to handle that. I've even thought about borrowing a public works truck and trying to run a radar out of it. It's just when we set up there, sir.
That's
tricky. It is. But you know, you have to think outside the box. We have limited resources, obviously, so we don't have. If I'd like to give me a good ghost unmarked car in this next budget, I'd be happy to.
It's always something with you, man.
It will be a ghost car.
And any citizens, volunteers that want to help you put it there.
Thanks for the support, guys. But I mean, we're seeing people that are speeding, but they're not. There is not all over the city, I don't believe. And we'll continue to look at it. We're looking at it every day. Unfortunately, I'm one short right now, and I've had one on vacation. When you lose two of us, you've lost 33% of the department.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Moving on to 7.1, or 7.0 business, 7.1 consideration and approval of invoices.
I make a motion to pay our bills.
You don't have a second to pay your bills?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion to pay our bills on the count, seconded by Alderman Bowles. You ready to vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And ayes have it. Moving on to 7.2, reconsideration and approval of resolution number 2016-192, allowing the concealed carry of a firearm by a person licensed under Texas Government Code Chapter 411, Chapter 8, Subchapter H, handgun licensing law, into the city council meeting room when meetings are being held.
I make a motion to reconsideration and approval of resolution number 2016-192, allowing the concealed carry of a firearm by a person licensed under Texas Government Code Chapter 411, Subchapter H, Handgun Licensing Law, into the City Council meeting room. The meetings are being held.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-192 by Alderman Bowles, seconded by McCown. Do you want to discuss it?
Yes. Okay. I'll answer the questions that were asked earlier. Why? For a long time, there's been no sign on the building. And after our election and our first meeting, the signs were up. No discussion. I brought this out so that we could have a discussion. That's what we're about. That's what our government's about. Discussion. Not let's do what we want and then we'll figure it out later. We're having a discussion and a good debate. You got some for, you got some against. That's what it's all about. The cost. The cost was implemented when the signs were put up. There was no cost, there was nothing spent before the signs were put up. So, realistically, it's not going to cost us anything to take the signs down. We did get an opinion. It's all good. There's other cities that allow it. LaPorte does allow concealed carry. They don't allow open carry. You can carry in the state capitol. I have complete faith in our police department. The chief is one person. One person. Who's going to get him if somebody walks in here and wants to do evil? Who's going to be the first person that gets hit? Hopefully not chief, but same time. It's our right. We're going to take away a right. We need to have a debate. If you want to carry, you can carry. If you don't want to carry, don't carry. If you are carrying concealed, realistically, you're not going to see it. For all you know, for the past 5-6 years, people have been carrying. You don't know it. Maybe it's a false sense of security, but it's still our right. It's a Second Amendment right. I believe in it, and I believe we need to have a debate to talk about it. So.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I haven't heard, since our last vote on this, I haven't heard any reason to change our votes. I mean, I disagree with my friend Alderman McCown. I think we should have open carry. He doesn't. This is politics. I had to compromise. I voted
and we have concealed carry, okay? If it was up to me, we'd take both sides down, but we don't. And as far as the cost, Mr. Alderman Bowles just said there was no cost until the city was forced to order signs for no reason. And so, you know, taking the signs down won't cost anything but a screwdriver, I would think. So I don't understand that at all, and I do mow my own ditches for the record, so.
Anybody else?
I just, you know, big Second Amendment girl here. However, I find some fallacies with the argument, with all due respect, Alderman Bowles, that you can carry in the state capitol. Well, to go into the state capitol with your CHL and your firearm, are you vetted? The answer is yes. So who's going to sit there and check and make sure that people are actually legally carrying here? And that is the question. Because if you want to sit there and talk about the state capitol that you can carry in there, well, that's lovely, but I'm certain that they actually do go through a vetting process to ensure that those people are legally actually carrying. I don't think, you know, Joe Sixpack, that may or may not be legal, can just wander off in there. You're going to have to show and vet. Now, do we want to sit there and turn this into that? So I don't think we can sit there and talk about the state capitol in these chambers in the same breath. That's just my point.
Anybody else? We're going to vote. All those in favor? All those against?
Against, nay.
Nay.
All those in favor of...
Say, aye.
You have to read the motion.
We have a motion for approval of resolution number 2016-192, requested by Alderman Bowl, seconded by McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So we have Jennings, McCown, and Bowl for the ayes. And all those against?
Nay.
And Hoskins and Schnell against, and it passes 3-2. Moving on to 7.3, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-194, appointing 2 members of city council and 3 members of the public to the audit committee for a 2-year term beginning July 25th, 2016 and ending June 30th, 2018. We have a motion.
I make a motion that we postpone this to the next meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion to postpone until the next meeting, brought by Alderman Schnell, seconded by Alderman Hoskins. Do we want to discuss that?
That would be August 8th for clarification.
August 8th. Do we want to discuss it?
Could I ask why we want to propose postpone it again?
Well, until we get the budget rolling. And then I know Alderman Bowles just posted that some other citizens were interested here just a couple of days ago. Give council adequate and ample opportunity to look at those people that are interested in serving.
On the bulletin board?
You put it on BBS?
Yes, I put it on BBS.
Yeah, I talked to all those people.
Okay, well, I still stand by my motion to wait until the next meeting.
Okay.
Or anybody else? So we have a motion to postpone resolution number 2016-194 until August 8th, brought by Alderman Schnell, seconded by Jennings. I'm sorry, Ron Hoskins, seconded by Alderman Hoskins. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Aye.
So we have McCown against and Hoskins and Schnell for it. Are you not voting?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
We had a motion to postpone until right. August the 8th. All those in favor were McCown. The 2 against were Schnell and Hoskins. It was the opposite, sorry. We have 2 in favor and only McCown against it. We have 2 that didn't vote.
That person said aye, but I guess it wasn't loud enough. But I just wanted, if we're going to do it, let's do it. If not, I don't care one way or the other, honestly.
So the motion to postpone. Bull, did you say aye?
I'm in favor of, let's handle it tonight.
Okay, so you're against it.
Yes.
So we have two for it, which is Alderman Hoskins and Alderwoman Schnell, and then we have three against the motion to postpone until August 8th, which are Alderman Jennings, Alderman McCown, and Alderman Bowles. So the motion to postpone does not pass. So we go back to 7.3, approval of resolution number 2016-194. Do we have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve 2016-194 resolution electing and appointing members of the audit committee, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-194 by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderman Bowles.
I'll make a motion to amend items. Items one and two under the council members appointed to the committee. I would recommend Nancy Sell and Ricky Bowles.
Okay, so we have a motion to amend resolution number 2016-194 by Alderman Jennings. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Alderman Bowles.
Will both of y'all accept it? The appointment.
Life change a good thing. Yeah. Doing it for a few years.
Okay. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. So, we amended it to say that Alderman Bowles and Alderwoman Schnell will be on the audit committee. So we're going to go back to the motion to approve that was brought by.
Not yet.
Make a motion to amend items one, two, and three, appointing the following three citizens at large to the audit committee. And my motion will be Karen Harris, John A. Coon, and Felicia Ramos.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to amend items 1, 2, and 3 on resolution number 2016-194 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderman Bowles, and that was to add Karen Harris, Felicia Ramos, and who was the other one?
John Atkoon.
John Atkoon. Do we want to discuss it? No. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It passes unanimously. Okay, so we're going to move on to item 7.4.
The
main motion, I'm sorry, you guys. We're back to the main motion to approve item resolution number 2016-194.
As amended.
As amended, and it was brought by Alderman Jennings and seconded by Bowles. So all those in favor?
No.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
All
those in favor?
Sorry, can't hear you. Sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And it passes unanimously. Now we're moving to 7.4. This is Alderman Jennings, so I'm going to allow him to have the floor on this one. 7.4, this is a resolution or an ordinance that he has brought. Would you like to?
Yeah. Hold on, folks. I got to read this whole thing. I make a motion to approve Ordinance 2016-213, an ordinance amending Shoreacre City Code Section 281, the mayor, council members, and staff, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 282A7, operation of city council meeting, and 282B3, mayor, and city council relations with city staff, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 2-119, sick leave, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 2-105 application process, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 2-109F substance abuse, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 2-109G self-declarant as a substance abuser, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 2-113 attendance and punctuality, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 2-120 holidays, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 2-123, reporting requirements,
amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-124, Administrative Leave. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-127, Employee Anniversaries. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-128, Personnel Records. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-129, Expenses. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-130, Guidelines for Taking Exemplary and Disciplinary Action. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-131C, Termination / Disqualification. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-132, Equal Employment Opportunity, in parentheses, Sexual Harassment. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-134, Outside Activities. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-135, Communication. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-135.2, On-the-Job Injuries. Amending Shoreacre City Code, Section 2-135.4, Use of Tools, Equipment, Property, and Vehicles. Providing a Severability Clause. Making various findings and provisions relating to the subject. Finding compliance with the Open Meetings Law. And providing an effective date hereof. Do I have a second?
Second.
And I'm not going to make you read that, I hope.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-213 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderman Bowles.
Yeah. Did I say that before?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Your motion, yes.
Yeah. I think that's why most of you are here tonight. Is the ordinance that is in front of you obviously is a very long ordinance, and I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. This is a major change to city code. I won't sugarcoat it. This is because of the actions of the current mayor, but it is not only because of the actions of the current mayor. In hindsight, this should have been passed many years ago. We cannot and should not be handing employee relations off every 2 years to an elected official who may or may not have employee management experience. Again, in hindsight, it's a no-brainer. What's happening right now today, and again, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, it is because of the actions of the mayor in many instances, and not solely related to the dismissal of Sergeant Wayne Thompson. I want to make that clear. He has a hearing coming up. We will decide that at that time. This is independent of that and has nothing to do with Sergeant Thompson, his dismissal at all. This is, has to do with the overall attitude and treatment of employees by the current mayor and preventing such occurrences in the future. We have legal opinions. We've gone to a lot of research to do this and a lot of cost. You heard me read that off. Mr. Gregg and the city attorney, Chris Gregg, spent a lot of time in research and developing this ordinance and his legal opinion in concurrence with the TML, the Texas Municipal League. And so the legislature in 2003 amended the law to make this possible. And so I don't want to, let's not sugarcoat it. This is a big ordinance change. I have no idea how this is going to go tonight as far as the vote of this council. But I do know that in my mind it's extremely important to bring it to the table and at least try to get it done so that we don't in the future face similar situations. And with that, I'll release the floor.
Do we need some discussion? Jennings spoke. Do you want to start with McCown?
I'm good.
Nancy?
I still do believe that this is a little bit premature, and I appreciate your comments, Alderman Jennings, about this being completely irrelevant as to the termination of former Sergeant Thompson. I just have some fundamental issues with we're changing the way our city is operating and the way it's operated. I mean, I know, I understand about changing over every 2 years, and that's difficult. The city's been doing that since the 60s. And I'm not saying it's always worked really well, but it has not, you know, we're still here, barely, but we're still here. So you know, and I do have some issues, especially with the, like, 2109, as far as the drug testing policy. I don't see what the problem with that being shared with the mayor, because in 2013, ordinance 2013-151, I'm the one that made the amendment to the lackluster policy that we had. And I actually wrote that one all by myself, and it passed. But, you know, it's things like that that do cause me a bit of angst and concern. And it almost seems like somebody Googled mayor, and everywhere it said mayor, they went, oh, take that out. And, I mean, essentially that's what's happening. What happens if we don't have a good or strong or competent city administrator? Now you're putting that in someone that is not elected, not representative of people at all, and you're putting that in there. And those are the concerns that I have.
Is that a question or a rhetorical statement?
It's a rhetorical statement.
Okay. Because I can answer it if it's a question.
I actually was expecting a lot more information and background on how this was supposed to be expected to turn out, because effectively what it's doing is it's attempting to create this as a city manager form of government, and quite frankly, I think that's left to the people, and the people should vote, not city council. That's the way the state law has been set up. I also, you know, agree with Alderman Schnell about it looks like all you did is go through and just remove the mayor. So, for example, on page 9 of 17 of this long one, documentation of employee action. It used to state, if this passes, the mayor, members of council, and department heads are expected to commend employees for exemplary service, and an employee of one department may commend an employee of another in another department. So we're going to take the right of the mayor to thank somebody for good work? Why would you do that? Unless this whole thing is geared towards, you know, a personal vendetta, which is what it seems like to me. Secondly, this isn't just doing and accomplishing the city manager form of government, but it's also changing the when an employee is on sick leave more than 5 days to 5 consecutive scheduled work days. Where is it? Most cities don't do that. 5 consecutive work days is absolutely, in my mind, ridiculous. The city of La Porte says, sick, and I have their personnel policy, I'll read that to you. Sick leave exceeding 40 hours in any 6-month period may cause an employee to be placed on physical report status, which means anytime they're sick thereafter, they will need to turn in a doctor's note. Documentation is required for 3 or more consecutive work days, which I think is reasonable, but 5 is way too much. So in theory, an employee could be sick for 4 days, take a vacation day, and then be sick for the next 4 days. I think LaPorte does it much better. If you're sick for 5 days within any 6-month period, every time you need to have a doctor's note. Nobody gets sick that many days. I think this is ridiculous to change to 5 consecutive work days. So it's accomplishing more than just removing the powers away from the mayor. And quite frankly, I don't have enough information to even vote on this, so I'm going to abstain.
Very well. I can answer your questions about Googling and removing the mayor. Changing
that
the
was
word.
Rhetorical, but
we go,
you?
I have no questions.
Okay, you can go back to him if you want.
All right, Alderman Jennings, do you have anything else?
Well, I can answer the questions. Googling and removing the mayor, yes, when you change an ordinance and you do remove power from the mayor, you do have to go through and change every single occurrence of where it says mayor to city administrator. That's a fact. You can copy fine, you can however you want to do it. I wouldn't Google it personally, but if you want to do that, you could. As far as a personal vendetta, I don't understand what Alderman Hoskins mean by that. Perhaps you could explain.
You really want to take away the power of the mayor to give an employee an award? That's what this is doing.
Alderman Hodges, you said it was a personal vendetta. How could it be a personal vendetta? I'm proposing it. I'm not an employee of the city.
And what decisions is it that I've made that you think are so bad? I didn't want guns in chambers, or I didn't think our PD should be on social media?
Mayor Sanford, I have listed many examples of the behavior that has caused this ordinance on the city BBS. If you wish me to repeat them here tonight, I can do that. Would you like me to do that?
Only if we can also go ahead and go down the line on your behavior.
I moved
to the previous question. Okay, so we're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Can you sustain?
I abstain.
Okay, so it passes. Alderman Dennis. So for the record, it passes. Moving on to item 7.5.
What?
Point of
Three
order.
Three to two.
Point of order, Mayor.
Three to one.
I just want to make crystal clear with Alderman Hoskins that we did this in a proper format and it won't come back later and you will say that we didn't read something properly.
You read it properly, all right.
Yes. Thank you.
So it passes 3-2, Jennings, McCown, and Bold. I'm sorry, 3-1, Nancy, Nay, and Hoskins sustained.
May I say something?
No.
Okay.
So moving on to item 7.
It has nothing to do with you personally.
Item 7.5. Are we going to try to move that?
I'd like to get to the, unless there's any objection, can we move 7.5 to after 7.7 in case we need to make adjustments, unless there's any objection?
I object. I'd like to just keep going down the agenda. Thank you.
Very well.
7.5, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-216, amending the city code relating to rates and charges for water and sewer services.
Okay, that's on me. I will move to approve ordinance 2016-216, amending the city code relating to rates and charges for water and sewer services.
Do you have a second?
I will second.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-216 by Alderman Hoskins, seconded by Alderwoman Snell. Do you want discussion?
Absolutely. If I may have the floor. Thank you. Again, it goes back to what the auditor said from the old previous water rates. I asked him very specifically, you know, what is our operating costs or revenues? Where do we stand? And he said we were at break even in October, at the October 1st, 2015. Those were our auditor's exact words. The numbers have shown that we were at break even. And then what happened in November is we raised the rates. And it just in going through everything, and Mr. Stahl's correct, there are some discrepancies in terms of what is water revenue and so forth, but our total revenue that was reported for this month is $245,000. Last year at the same time, what was reported was $149,000. Currently, we are at a cost of $202,000 in expenses versus $245,000, so we're $45,000 over our operations. Projected out to the end of the year, because it's the summer months, we still have three more months of water to go through, we are probably going to wind up at about $80,000 to $100,000, well over budget, over our operating costs. I find that our water rates are just egregious. They're the highest in the area, and I think our citizens need some relief. I'm not suggesting we go back to the original break-even numbers. So I figure if we scale it back by $6 a month per household, or seven it was, and cut back some a little bit on the other, we'll still be in a in the black. We'll still be making money, but we just won't be making as much as we make today. Today, we're, from my estimates, we're probably pulling in a profit of over 20%, which is, we only really need to break even. And that's why I'm in favor of reducing it. Now, do we want to discuss, is $7 a month too little or too much? We can do that. But our current rates are way too high. And that was the number one complaint when I knocked on people's doors that they had. Not one person told me, I want you to raise my water rate higher. That's it for me.
We're going to start with Alderman Jennings. Do you have anything?
All right. Mr. Hoskins, do you understand that the proprietary fund includes the water and the sewer?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just the water. And when council raised those rates, the theory was that we would put place it on the water, and we would also increase the consumption and to help people or to show people what they were spending so that they maybe conserve water and put less down the drains. Now, if you want to raise sewer rates to cover this, that's okay. But right now, I mean, you just said that we're profitable. Let me show you real numbers. Look in your report. Right now, today, we've had revenues of $439,449.37. We've had expenditures in the proprietary fund of $644,774. That's a loss of $205,325. When you say the auditor said you broke even last year?
Yeah.
Okay, the auditor, I'm looking, here's the auditor's report, right here.
I got it.
Okay. What he said was we lost $66,000, and then we also transferred $260,000. That is a net of $320,000 that we took out of savings to prop up the proprietary fund. And what? And let me ask you this: do you agree with the mayor? The mayor has been out on social media promoting your reduction rates. Do you agree with her numbers?
I don't read social media much.
Okay.
At all.
Well,
let me ask
you. I haven't seen it. Okay. Let me ask the mayor then.
Try to avoid that.
Let me ask the mayor. Mayor Sanford, where did you get your calculations?
Mr. Stahl, he posted it on the DBS. He said we broke even.
Mr. Stahl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Stahl, could you explain to me why you told Mayor Sanford that our current rate bring in additional profit of hundreds of thousands of dollars?
No, that's not.
We can reduce them and still turn a profit. We can use some of that profit to get our mosquito sprayer back. Mr. Stahl, why would you tell her that?
No, what he stated was that we did not have a $300,000 deficit, which is what was claimed yesterday or last year to justify this water rate increase. He stated on the BBS that we broke even with our old water rates while we made about $2,000.
Right. So how do you come up with the fact that you are giving citizens information. You say that our water rates are profiting the city hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's you.
They are.
Okay, show me.
Well, it's probably going to be a little over $100,000.
Alderman Hoskins, it cannot be. Right now, we have already budgeted transferring $592,000. Okay?
Okay, I'm talking strictly operations here.
Right
you
now, I am talking proprietary fund. Proprietary fund, and if you want to reduce this thing and go further into debt, we have $225,000 sitting out there that we know we're going to have to spend just waiting for the bill to come in. Our proprietary fund our savings now are about 684. Take that, we're going to be down in the 250 range, and we have the mayor telling citizens that we're profiting hundreds of thousands of dollars. That is just not true, folks. That's just not true. So if you read that stuff on social media, understand, it is not true.
Well, it is true.
Okay, let me ask Mr. Stahl a question, if I may. Mr. Stahl, that $400,000 is for West Country Club, is that correct? Or close to it?
No, it's way too much. It's under $300,000.
$300,000 for West Country Club. How long is that West Country Club probably going to last, the repairs? How long are they good for?
About 50 years.
About 50 years. That's a capital expense, and that's what he's referring to.
That's a capital expense.
Operations
coming out of this
capital expenses. And it's...
Alderman Hodges, we do not have a capital expense budget.
That's what our general reserve is intended to be for. Yeah. In fact,
okay, let me ask you this.
Capital, that's what it was called in 2001, 2002.
Let me ask you this way. We have what? How many utility accounts do we have in this city?
Oh, 627.
Okay. $10 a month. $6,270 times 12. About $84,000 a year. Where are the hundreds of thousands of dollars coming
in? It's a three-tiered system. So that's just the flat rate that you're making that much out of. You still have two other tiers. The more you use, the more, you know, that's just the flat rate.
I'm sorry. You have to look at the real numbers. I'm done.
No, I figured this would fail anyway. Let's go ahead and vote it, unless anybody else has comments.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-216, brought by Alderman Hoskins, seconded by Alderman Schnell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
So it fails. Nays have it, which were Alderman Jennings, Alderman McCown, and Alderman Bolt. And the ayes were Alderman Schnell and Alderman Hoskins. Moving on to 7.6, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-217, authorizing the mayor to execute a contract with the Mariwaste Incorporated for residential waste collection, disposal, and recycling, and providing for termination of existing contract for residential waste collection, disposal, and recycling with public services. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve ordinance 2016-217, authorizing the mayor to execute a contract with Mariwaste Incorporated for residential waste collection, disposal, and recycling, and providing for termination of existing contract for residential waste collection, disposal, and recycling for public services.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-217.
Have a point of order?
Yes.
Where's the contract?
I don't have the contract on me. The bid, the proposal, the contract will state what's in the proposal that you were provided in your packet. If there's something that you don't want.
You cannot vote on a contract if you don't have it. So I'm curious as to why this is on the agenda.
This is authorizing me to enter into a contract under the terms that are provided in the packet in the proposal. The proposal is what they're offering. If we agree to the proposal, then we will enter into a contract. This is giving me permission to enter into a contract if you guys agree with the proposal.
You have to have a contract. You can't bring the council something and say, you know, we'll vote on this. You know, you can enter into a contract if you want to.
No, this is...
I disagree, Alderman Jennings. I mean, we didn't get a copy of the contract, did we, Mr. Stahl, for the people that did the repairs on West Country Club or Shore Acres Boulevard? We just gave you authorization to get the bids and then enter into an agreement with them to fix the road, correct?
No, we had the contract. We had the contract and the purchase order.
May I? So we're going to, this is a proposal, okay? When you do a proposal, you talk about it. Then you come back with a contract. There may be other fees that are in it. This is 5 years. We didn't have a 5-year contract on any of the repairs. This is a 5-year contract with the 3-year. Within 3 years, we start seeing an increase. It's a proposal. It's not a contract. There's a big difference between them in the business world. That's the big difference here.
Nobody because said it they was a contract. We said it was a proposal.
It says contract right here.
Yeah, I know. This is to allow me to enter into a contract based on this proposal. The contract is.
But my point is you come back with a contract. We give you permission to go do it. We're talking about one thing. There might be other fees and stuff that are going to be in it, and you're going to negotiate it without council.
It's already been negotiated. The contract is what the proposal is in your contract.
Where's the contract?
There's not a contract. You guys have to agree to the proposal, and if you guys agree to the proposal and allow me to enter into
I'll
a contract.
I'll call the question.
So do we want any more discussion?
Can he move
I'll call
to
the question.
Okay, so we're going to vote. So we have a motion to approve brought by Hoskins, seconded by Snell. A motion brought by Alderwoman Snell, seconded by Hoskins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
The nays have it. Jennings, Bowles, and McCown. The ayes for Snow and Hoskins. Moving on to 7.7.
We can
cross
that
one out.
If there's any objection.
Move on to 7.8, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-214, amending the city code section 214, special meeting. We have a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-214, an ordinance amending the code of the city of Short Acres regarding special meetings containing a severability clause, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
I second. So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-214, brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderwoman Schnell. Do we need discussion? So we're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Moving on to 7.9, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-197, authorizing aldermen to consult with the city attorney without limitations and directing the city attorney to attend city council meetings upon request. So the motion?
I make a motion to approve resolution number 2016-197, resolution rescinding resolution number 2016-186, authorizing aldermen to consult with the city attorney without limitation, directing the city attorney to attend city council meetings upon request, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
A second.
So we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-197, brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderman Bowles. Do we want discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
So the ayes have it. The ayes were Jennings, McCown, and Bowles. The nays were Snow and Hoskins. It does pass. That's it. We adjourn at 8:17.